It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. NASA's Perseverance rover got a textbook blast-off into space this morning and is now on its 8-month journey to Mars. University of Tennessee geologist Linda Kay is among the scientists eager to see what Perseverance finds once it arrives on the red planet early next year. I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Kay earlier today after she watched the successful liftoff on television.
I'm feeling really good about this. I mean, this is really only the first step in the process because it's a lot easier to launch a rocket than it is to land a spacecraft. So come February of next year, the anxiety will go up. But my family's been telling me that the last couple of days I have been clearly getting more nervous. I didn't think I was, but everyone I'm associated with thinks I am.
Well, it's good to know that you have a moment's respite then to have a little bit of relief now that the spacecraft has successfully gotten off the ground and is on its way to Mars. Let's talk about why you're involved on this team. So you are a geologist who specializes in sedimentary rocks. Those are the kind of rocks that are typically formed in or near watery environments. Mars is a pretty dry planet today, but it wasn't always that way. So you're going to go study, or not you personally, but you're going to be studying vicariously some of these sedimentary rocks that may contain clues to Mars's wetter past.
Yeah, and I think we need to remember, you and I have talked before about the Curiosity rover, which I'm also a participant in. And in the past, most of our NASA missions, landed missions, have been looking for evidence of habitability. So what does it require in an environment to be an environment that is conducive for life to exist? And water, energy, and nutrients, chemical nutrients, are really what you need. And so water of those is often the easiest thing to diagnose, because if you have any sort of a fluid flow, from whether it be water or wind, it can move sedimentary grains of different sizes. And so we can look at the resultant deposition and sort of backtrack and understand the context and the environmental conditions under which it formed. But on this mission, the goal is a little bit different. The Perseverance rover is the first in a 3-mission sequence that is actually aiming to bring samples back from Mars. And it is not simply looking for habitability, was an environment conducive to allowing life to live, but it's actually a life detection mission. Can we actually find evidence of biologically made organic materials on Mars? And that's the reason why we really need to bring things back, because we can do amazing things with a rover, but we don't get the same detail of analyses as we can bring it back. And so the whole mission for Perseverance itself, we have to build the environmental picture. And then once we have that environmental picture, we have to say, what are the best samples to collect that will ultimately come back to Earth? You know, what are the samples that are most likely to preserve something that we want to see?
The process that you're describing, for listeners who aren't that familiar with us old rock hounds and what we're interested in, this is very similar to field geology that you would do here on Earth. You're just doing it from a vantage point that is millions of miles away. But the basic processes of first establishing the environment, looking at the area, and then asking increasingly detailed questions is pretty much the same process you would use to try to reconstruct a past environment here on Earth as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's part of the reason why albeit I had to learn a lot when I first joined a Mars mission, but it was a relatively easy translation from the type of work that I've done, you know, in the Canadian Arctic, in the Sahara Desert, in China, in India, in South Africa. You know, it's the same style of work, but I'm directing a robot on how to make the best observations. And so it's just an extension of the skill set that I've been building for the last 20 years.
I know biology is not your strong suit, but to again use an earthbound analogy, if we want to know if there was life in a particular stratum of rock, we can look for fossils. And we know what a fossil looks like, even if we're not familiar with the species. We can identify what looks like a biological organism that was preserved in rock. When we are looking at something on Mars, a layer of rock, are we looking in this mission for fossils? Are we looking for indirect evidence? What is going to be that thing that you and your team are looking for that's going to be a little bit closer to establishing whether or not there was life at some point in Mars's past?
Okay, I think that that's an absolute handful of a question, because we don't know what we're going to find. Mm-hmm. But we don't envision that there are fossils of animals, of multicellular animals on Mars. You know, we're not even going to think that direction. If we think about early planetary evolution, we're largely thinking about the potential for microbial life. And so we're looking pond scum. But microbial life does leave signatures in rocks, because you tend to get these microbes, they live in colonies and they form these thick organic mats. And even when they die and decompose, you can get very fine layers that are still relatively organic rich. One of the most interesting things, and one of the reasons why we went to Jezero Crater, is from orbit, we actually get spectroscopic signatures from a spacecraft orbiting Mars that suggests that there's the mineral carbonate. Okay, so that's something like limestone or dolomite, something that we're very used to seeing on Earth associated with fossils. And so from orbit, we actually see that there are carbonates in Jezero Crater. And, you know, I think everybody is hoping as hard as they can possibly hope that these might actually give us very direct signatures. Microbial life can also create environments in which carbonate will form by their own metabolic processes, changing the local chemistry. And so we have a bunch of different indications that we can look for.
The Curiosity rover, which we mentioned a little earlier, you've been part of the investigation team on that as well. Many of our listeners may be familiar with it from the great photographs and news stories that have come out. It landed in a similar environment in Gale Crater, which used to be a watery environment. It landed 8 years ago. I guess what I'm trying to do is address the potentially skeptical listener in the audience who says, how is this not a repeat of something we're already doing if we're sending a rover that looks very much the same to do kind of the same work in kind of the same environment? Why Jezero Crater? Why do we think, I think you mentioned this just a moment ago, that there's some remote sensing data that indicates there might be some carbonate material, some organic material at this location.
Yeah, and that is actually probably the biggest difference. A lot of our Mars landing, recent Mars landings from the Spirit and Opportunity rovers years ago to Curiosity have focused on places where we see from orbit the signature of minerals that we can associate with water. But we haven't yet had a place where we could really associate carbonate minerals. And carbonate minerals are so absolutely tied to biologically active environments on Earth that it is very easy to get excited about that as a possibility. And so we're going to some place where we have a mineral signature that we really haven't had from any other landing site. And I think, you know, I like your idea that there are the skeptics, you know, why we're spending a lot of money to go someplace similar on Mars. Well, we don't actually know how similar it's going to be. Let's take the recent landed missions. So Pathfinder, Spirit, Opportunity, Curiosity, and Perseverance. That's going to be five landed missions. If we take 5 points around Knoxville and say, tell me what Tennessee looks like, or tell me what the world looks like, we don't know. We need every time to go someplace different. And we still know we're missing huge swaths of what the planet looks like.
We're still very much, it sounds like, in our evolution of understanding Mars. From that firsthand perspective, it's helpful to remind our listeners that although it seems like a long time ago culturally, we only got our first close-up photographs of Mars from a very brief mission called Mariner 4 in 1964 and 65. So, you know, about 55 years ago, not that long ago, we're talking about worlds that are more than 4 billion years old. We haven't had a whole lot of time to poke around and explore a little bit on Mars. I look forward to talking with you again early next year when we start getting some results from the Perseverance rover. Dr. Linda Kay is a planetary geologist whose specialty is sedimentary rocks. She's going to the right place to study them, and she's been joining us from her office at the University of Tennessee. Dr. Kay, congratulations, of course, to you and your colleagues for the successful beginning of the mission, and we wish you good luck for a successful completion as well.
Thank you very much.